Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The family of an armed man shot dead by law enforcement on Christmas Eve in Fairbanks is questioning how officers handled the incident. 20-year-old Cody Iyer was shot by state troopers and Fairbanks police near the intersection of the Steese Highway and the Johansson Expressway after they responded to a call about a distraught man with a gun walking along the road. An investigation is ongoing, and one of Cody Iyer's sisters, Samantha Iyer Harrison, says the family has been denied access to case evidence, including law enforcement video of the incident.
Once we found out that there was video footage, we've been really adamant about, you know, please let us watch the video.
Harrison says her brother left the family home early in the evening, like he often did, to take a walk and clear his head, but notes he was feeling the weight of an especially tough day.
Christmas stress going on in addition to girlfriend problems. And then I think the last part was that his truck wouldn't start. And so it just kind of created this perfect storm of events where he was just having a really difficult Christmas Eve.
Harrison says her brother left the house wearing a pistol he more typically only carried for safety on remote construction jobs. She says her mom was worried, followed in a vehicle, and called 911. 4 miles and over an hour later, she says troopers and police arrived, blockaded the area, and talked to Cody, but he walked away into the woods.
The situation was stable. And then once he walked into the wooded area and she lost sight of him, that's when, you know, whatever occurred in the woods, ultimately he ended up losing his life. And I guess the big question that we're asking is, why was lethal force necessary?
An Alaska State Trooper dispatch says Iyer brandished a firearm toward the officers. Harrison says the family questions what happened given her brother's nonviolent past and because he was training to become a military police officer.
It would have been very uncharacteristic for him to have threatened anyone, especially a law enforcement officer. And so the word brandished in our mind is a red flag. We want to know exactly what do you mean by brandished a gun.
Harrison notes that the officers were dressed in tactical gear and carried assault rifles.
I'm sure that he felt scared in his final moments in the woods.
5 officers fired on Iyer, who died shortly after at the hospital. Harrison says family members were briefly allowed to see him.
And it was, you know, really concerning to us that not only had he been shot multiple times from the waist to the ankles, but that he had been shot directly to the back of the head. So, I mean, that to us is just a huge use of force.
A letter from the Harrisons also raises the issue of potential racial bias, noting that Cody Iyer was part Alaska Native. Trooper spokeswoman Megan Peters says in an email that she does not expect any new information to become available until the Office of Special Prosecutions receives the case for review and makes a determination. The Iyer family has created a website and social media pages to raise awareness about the case and broader issues. The Alaska State Troopers are at a critically low staffing level, according to a report from the Department of Public Safety. The report says troopers are leaving for better pay and retirement elsewhere, and low staffing is hurting the agency's ability to respond to calls for help. Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove reports.
We are in a crisis.
That's Doug Massey, a 20-year wildlife trooper and president of the union that represents the troopers.
I think we're doing the best we can, but we don't have adequate funding or staffing that we need.
Massey points to the numbers. Roughly 10% of trooper positions statewide are unfilled. The rate of troopers leaving for other jobs has nearly doubled. Most go to other law enforcement agencies.
They're looking for the best pay, the best benefits.
And it's not easy training new troopers. A tiny fraction of applicants make it through the process. It takes up to a year and a half and nearly $200,000 to train one trooper. To keep the ones they already have, the Department of Public Safety Retention Plan report suggests returning Alaska law enforcement officers to a defined benefit retirement plan. That's what they used to offer, and it guaranteed a certain level of retirement benefits after 20 years of employment. The defined contribution plan state employees currently get is an investment account that can be cashed out in full after just 5 years. Lieutenant Derek DeGraff heads the Troopers Recruitment Office, which is now increasingly focused on retention as well.
So we moved the finish line essentially to 5 years. I heard it said many years ago when we switched over to this, give us 5 years and that's adequate. And it's just not, it's just really costly. It becomes more of a revolving door.
DeGraff says police departments at the same job fairs he attends in the lower 48, hoping to stop attrition and become more attractive to recruits, have returned to defined benefit plans. A recent bill by Senate President Pete Kelly, a Republican from Fairbanks, would allow police officers, troopers, and firefighters to return to a defined benefit plan. Kelly says a cost analysis still needs to be done.
And the numbers need to be compelling, or the legislature probably won't do it. But I think we actually can find that those numbers do produce a benefit to the state of Alaska.
That bill would only affect public safety employees. Senator Dennis Egan, a Juneau Democrat, and others say all public employees, including teachers and state workers, should be in the same larger pool, which he says would keep down the cost. Egan also has a bill filed that would give public employees the option of going with defined benefits. But Massey, the Troopers Union president, says that if it comes down to a higher price tag, the state should prioritize public safety and the dangerous daily conditions of law enforcement work. I'm Casey Grove.
University of Alaska President Jim Johnson is optimistic about a state funding increase this year. State support for UA dropped from $378 million in 2014 to $317 million this year, reductions that have resulted in major cuts and restructuring. Johnson told UA Regents meeting in Fairbanks yesterday that legislators appear receptive to a Regents request for $341 million for the coming year.
We had some good news this week, the first good news in a long time, that the House Finance Committee has adopted a $336 million UGF budget, so an increase of $19 million from current year. So that's excellent.
While cautioning that it's just one step in a long budgeting process, Johnson noted a general change in tone in Juneau.
In other areas, clearly there continues to be uncertainty and, you know, in terms of a long-term sustainable fiscal plan. But in terms of the university, I think a corner has been turned.
UA Regents Board Chair Gloria O'Neill credited the apparent turnaround to the constructive path the university has taken in the face of funding reductions.
We didn't do what was easy. We didn't give 5-10% just cuts across the board. We actually have a strategic plan. We're following that plan.
O'Neill pointed to restructuring focused on better aligning the university with Alaska's needs. Legislators are considering boosting funding that will allow UA to invest in select high-demand programs. Regents continue meeting today. Traditional Inuit tattoos are one of the many focuses of this year's University of Alaska Fairbanks Festival of Native Arts. The festival started yesterday, and this afternoon, Inupiaq artist Holly Nordlum of Kotzebue is giving a workshop on the tattoos, particularly those on women's faces, markings sewn into the skin in recognition of important life milestones.
The chin tattoo was a real marker of a woman's life, and it kind of told her story and her accomplishments. Coming of age would be the first couple of lines, and if you had children or found a partner or, you know, were an accomplished seamstress, the best in your village, you would get more lines.
Nordlum says she began researching the tattooing tradition 5 years ago and is connected with other Inuit artists in and outside Alaska who are together reviving the tradition, which she says facilitates communication and healing.
From past traumas, whether they be from colonization or just from personal stories, that they can tell those stories to us and we can help them get through that. And then also walk away with a beautiful tattoo.
Nordlum's workshop on traditional tattooing at the Festival of Native Arts is scheduled for 1 p.m. at the Wood Center. She says actual tattooing will be available at an off-campus location. I'm Dan Bross.